spend the time prepping for the talk and wanting to include this and leaving out that and lots of notes and wanting to offer something to everyone. And then the moment comes, like right now, and all that just has to fall away. And what I'm noticing is a little bit of tightening, but a lot of kind of a freedom in the letting go, that it'll be what it is. So I'll be continuing our exploration of the attitudinal foundations, just with the intention of kind of exploring and bringing in ways that we can inquire into our own experience, especially on retreat, since we have the time and the space. With the intention of getting to know these attitudinal foundations, both the foundations and their opposites. So a quote by Suzuki Roshi. We say concentration, but to concentrate your mind on something, it's not the true purpose of meditation. The true purpose is to see things as they are, to observe things as they are. So we've come to non-striving. Can you relate? So what is striving? How do you know when you're doing it or when it's happening? How does it feel in the body? How does it show up? Is there a quality of your mind state when there's striving? So in case you don't know too much about striving, we'll do a little experiment. So I'm going to ask you to make a fist in a minute and hold it for about 30 seconds, okay? So go ahead and make your fist and just hold it as tightly as you can. So really gripping, feeling the tightening. Now, keeping the focus on the fist, a little exploration. What's happening with your breath? What's happening with your jaw? Maybe seeing if there's any other places where you're holding or tensing that aren't necessary to make that fist. Now taking a deep breath in, and on the out-breath, letting go, opening a fist. So let's do a couple of those cleansing breaths, in through the nose, out through the mouth. A couple more. So what did you notice when you were making the fist? And then you inquired, were you holding your breath? Were you gripping your jaw? Right, so this striving intention is actually a habit, right? It's a habit that happens without our awareness in the body, in the mind. And then if you noticed that you were holding your breath, when you noticed that, did you have to say to yourself, oh, I have to take a deep breath? Maybe, but maybe not. In the recognition of the holding, there's a taking in a breath. So we want to take a closer look at these habits of striving, and how they maybe show up on retreat, on the cushion, in the hall, and also the other times when we're walking, eating in our rooms. So maybe when you're sitting to meditate, you have that striving to get rid of thoughts, or maybe make yourself calm, or make something happen, make an insight come. So just notice if you catch yourself like wanting something to happen. Or maybe when you're doing the walking meditation, right, that feeling of not back and forth and not going anywhere. What is that like? Right? How does that feel in your body? I don't know about you, sometimes I want to jump out of my skin. I want to go somewhere. Can't I just take a regular walk? Just knowing too, we talked some in the meetings about the walking meditation, that there is the freedom to zoom out a little bit, to give yourself some space with the walking, right? So you can narrow your focus and bring the same attention that you give to your breath to the sensations of walking. Or you can open and maybe you are aware of your surroundings. The wind, the trees, the grass. So you have that ability to balance in the walking. I got off track a little bit there, but I wanted to add that because we had talked about that in the meetings. Do you notice yourself rushing? I mean, where are you going? We don't really have anything to do. Or maybe you notice that you're checking the schedule again and again. I mean, really, it's only walking and sitting and maybe a little bit of movement, but you have the bells, but we have this kind of push to make something happen. I also notice what I call what next moments, right? You know, sitting, meditation, maybe calm, maybe not calm, but this feeling of like, okay, now I want to be walking. And then when I'm walking, my mind says, now you want to be sitting. When really it's all the same, but it's that energy of my life, my habits in my life of what's next. So you might notice that too as a what next moment. It's just this leaning into the future. And when we see it, can we just lean back into what's here now? The other thing I find kind of funny about that is, like, this is the moment, like right now, here on retreat, that like 10 days or 2 weeks or a month from now, you're gonna wanna come back to. So this quality of non-striving, of being, might be allowing, it might be accepting, it might have a quality of letting go, but often it's unfamiliar to us because our habit is so ingrained to strive and to stress. I want to read something from Zen Mind's Beginner's Mind. So part of the question here is, how to know striving, like how do I recognize it? And I think he kind of points to how we might know striving. When we practice meditation, our mind is calm and quiet. But usually our mind is very busy and complicated, and it's difficult to be concentrated on what we are doing. This is because before we act, we think, and this thinking leaves some trace. Our activity is shadowed by some preconceived idea. The thinking not only leaves some trace or shadow, but also gives us many other notions about other activities and things. These traces and notions make our minds very complicated. When we do something with a simple, clear mind, we have no notion or shadows, and our activity is strong and straightforward. But when we do something with a complicated mind in relation to other things or people or society, our activity becomes very complex. Most people have a double or triple notion in one activity. There is a saying to catch two birds with one stone. That is what people usually try to do. Because they want to catch too many birds, they find it difficult to be concentrated on one activity, and they may end up not catching any birds at all. That kind of thinking always leaves its shadow on their activity. In order to not leave any traces, when you do something, do it with your whole mind and body. So this, I found this helpful to just inquire into what am I telling myself if I'm getting that sense of striving? That I have to get something? That I have to be something other than I already am? That I have to get two birds with one stone? So just being interested in what's happening in the mind with this activity of striving. Now, of course, when we notice striving, it's not like, stop it, stop striving, which is what my mind says. You're not supposed to be striving. So it's the recognition, just like when you recognize the clenching of the fist and the holding of the breath, it's the recognition, this is striving. And then maybe a deeper inquiry, how strong is it? I love this, 0 to 10, right? Because that helps us to really lean in and take that closer look. It's not just, okay, striving, headline, no details. But we can come in closer. How strong is it? Is it small? Is it medium? Is it strong? Where do I feel it in my body? And then maybe labeling what sensations, what thoughts are here, worrying thoughts, planning thoughts. It's the story of me again. Yes. Maybe even bringing some humor to it. And recognizing striving, even perhaps relaxing into it, which is different than bracing against it, bracing and kind of evaluating or investigating from a distance, more breathing into it and feeling into it because it's here. So recognizing and relaxing into it, and what does that feel like? So just some ways to play with, inquire into the experience of striving. So what's the opposite of striving? What is non-striving? Allowing, being with, accepting, letting go. So in Zen Mind's Beginner Mind, Suzuki Roshi uses the example of rising bread, right? So all the ingredients are there. It's put into the oven. And it rises because of those conditions. Those conditions create the possibility for a rising. So in a way, we're all like little loaves of bread, and we're here on retreat in the oven. We don't have to strive to rise, right? We're in the conditions, and whatever rising is, you know, it's already happening. It's happening. So I have a quote, and I don't even know where it comes from. I will track that down, because as I was reading it, it made me very curious. There's a putting forth of energy. There's a commitment. There's a unity or integrity of purpose. Yet there is also effortlessness. Not pushing, not straining, not trying to get something, but just allowing the natural energy of the heart to function in a focused and free way. But just allowing the natural energy of the heart to function in a focused and free way. So I really like that for non-striving. Because to bake the bread, you have to bring the ingredients together. You have to get here. You have to sit. You have to bring your attention to the breath. So there's a putting forth of energy that's not pushing and not straining and not trying to get something. So these are the conditions. These are the conditions. We have the conditions right here, right now. Nature is also a beautiful way to explore non-striving. All around us, we see the natural unfolding of nature, seeing how everything happens in its own time.
That's a bald eagle calling to us right now. That's the bald eagle calling to us just now, perfectly timed.
So is there any effort in the opening to hearing the bald eagle? For me, that feels effortless. Open, spacious, receptive. I was also had a little a garden where I live, not much because there's not much shade, but I have some bees that come and just kind of observing them this summer, and they're really busy. I mean, there's a reason that they're busy bees. You know, the way that they move and they go from the very engaged and active. But something struck me about how they can be in that activity without, like, gotta hurry up, gotta get to the next flower. You know, here comes the competition, I gotta hurry up, or it's just not enough, or I don't like the weather today, or I gotta get back. That they can be moving with such momentum and focus without that quality of striving. Of course, I don't know, but and also with the leaves falling from the trees. You know, they're not falling saying, hurry, I gotta get down to the ground. Or over there, not here, there. So beautiful meditation to watch the leaves falling from the trees. And what happens in you when you listen for the eagle or watch the falling of the leaves? That natural quality of non-striving arises without effort. So I'll read a poem about nature by Bessie Parks is the author. The steadfast coursing of the stars, the waves that ripple to shore, the vigorous trees which year by year spread upwards more and more, the jewel forming in the mine, the snow that falls so soft and light, the rising and the setting sun, the growing glooms of night. All natural things both live and move in natural peace that is their own. Only in our disordered life, almost is she unknown. So let's get to know the natural peace that's all around us. And see if in that, being present to that, what you feel in yourself. So that's striving and non-striving inquiry into. I We also wanted to bring in an exploration on letting go, which feels connected to me to non-striving. So the letting, we have to feel the clenching of the fist, right, to feel the letting go. So this requires us to see our tendency to cling, want things a particular way, our tendency to crave something. And maybe to explore what we might be holding on to, a belief, a thought, a habit that we're not even aware of. But what a gift to be in this stillness to see that arise, right? And something you're holding on to, you're not even aware of. But through the practice of the clear seeing, we can see what we're holding on to. So I used to say that anything I had to let go of had scratch marks left on it. So do you know this feeling of like just not wanting to let go? I'm not going to. Like even when you have negative consequences, right? Do you have that rebel in you? I have to have it regardless of what the outcome is. Do you know that feeling? You might even be telling yourself, no, I shouldn't. This would be bad for me. I shouldn't. But there's just, it does not release the fist. Like no amount of, for me, this intellectual up here. Or if so, it's very forced and there's scratch marks on it. Like holding on at all costs despite what the outcome is. And all kinds of wanting, right? Wanting on retreat. I couldn't say wanting better food because I think this food is really good. But maybe it's wanting more food or different food or a warmer bed or different weather or a better cushion. Or in your life, wanting a different job or a different relationship, or not wanting the one that you have. This feeling that you want to be a better person, a different person, a wiser person. So exploring, like what am I holding on to? What am I gripped by? And the different ways of letting go. So maybe there's another way besides forced letting go. So years ago, I was driving up to Barre, Massachusetts. That's where Insight Meditation is. It's about 5 hours from my house. And I had agreed to pick somebody up, you know, so we could carpool together as a woman I didn't know. It's really interesting. I mean, you meet very interesting people, right, along the way, and so many of them can be our teachers. And this woman certainly was for me. So I picked her up at her house, you know, she was friendly. We got to talking, and of course we had about 4 hours to talk, so I just started learning about her life and her family, and she had 2 kids in middle school, and was telling me what she was interested in, and just very friendly and just feeling this kind of connection developing as we're on this journey to retreat together. And then at some point, you know, we started talking about what brought us to practice and, you know, going to this particular, it was a loving kindness retreat with Sharon Salzberg and Gina Sharp, actually, and Mark Coleman. Those names may or may not mean anything to you, it doesn't matter. So she told me that she had stage 3 lung cancer. And now it's even hard to say, because in that moment I was like hit with a lightning bolt. Right? So my stomach clenches right now, like my throat clenches, my eyes well up, and it's like I don't want to boo-hoo-hoo on her. I mean, she's the one with the cancer, right? But it was so intense. Because I knew she was not going to live to see those kids graduate from high school, much less be married, I mean, based on what she had told me. You know, so I paused a moment and I took a breath. Excuse me. And you know, I said something like, yeah, I'm really heartfelt, very, you know, sorry to hear that. It's got to be difficult. And she was just really even. She was just really calm. And here I was all tangled in this knot, you know. So I couldn't help myself, and I just said, you know, how are you with this? How are you, you know, living into this? And she said, I'm holding it lightly. I'm holding it lightly. You know, wearing it like a light scarf. And I just thought that was so beautiful and really meaningful, that instead of like the grip that I had, the fear for her, that, you know, it wasn't gone. It wasn't like, you know, it's all good. She was holding it lightly. So it was part of her experience, but not all of her experience. So I always remember that as a different way of letting go, that it's not that you're free of it, but your relationship to it can be different. And you might have something that striking in your life right now. I mean, many people do. We all do one time or another through our birth or aging and our facing our own death, right? We all have something that's strong. So I wish, may we hold it lightly when that time comes. So I also wanted to talk about another way of letting go. So I'm trained as a psychologist, and I'm particularly interested in habit change. Do you have any interest in this? Your ears go, whoo! Right. And I'm doing some work at Center for Mindfulness with a researcher there. His name is Judson Brewer. He's an interesting guy. And so he's really bringing together the modern science of reward-based learning, which is operant conditioning. I don't want to get too heady, but it's basically that we learn based on what we're rewarded by. That's how we learn, whatever rewards us, whether it's, when I eat a piece of chocolate, I get a little dopamine, or, you know, I get a good grade and I get some positive feedback. Or if I avoid going to class, I don't get into trouble, some kind of something like that. Yeah, so we learn based on reward. So he brings that together with the ancient teachings of the Buddha called dependent origination. We also don't need to get into that either, but the point I want to make is that it's these ancient teachings and modern science that come together and they actually align. So to me, there's something that we can learn from that. And if you want to know more about that, you know, you can take a look at his book. It's called The Craving Mind. But for us here on retreat, let's dive into how we might explore this different way of letting go. So we have this first step, right, of recognizing, this is craving, or this is clenching, or gripping, or I'm caught in something. That's the first step in being able to let go, is feeling it, naming it. And then shifting our focus away from I have to have that, or I shouldn't have that, or I should, thinking about it. And what does it feel like to be caught up in craving, in wanting, in gripping onto something? What do I tell myself about it? I have to have it. If I have this, I'll feel good, I'll be happy. How strong is it? Is it fleeting, a little? Or am I really engaged in this, caught in this, entangled in it, right? So this exploration of what does it feel like to be caught, knowing that we're caught, and then also exploring is what am I going to get out of this, or what am I getting out of this? And this involves a lot of clear seeing to be able to inquire to the next question. What am I getting from this? What do I get from it? And paying close attention, not in an intellectual way, right? Not in a, I shouldn't do this because it's not good for my health, or I shouldn't do this because it's going to piss someone off. But what does it feel like in my body? And what are the mental, emotional consequences? So this quality of paying close attention is very different from being caught in a habit loop, and then maybe seeing that we're caught and not letting go and beating ourselves up and then vowing, I'm going to do it differently next time. It's different than that, which is forced and which is struggle. It's paying attention to the immediate, the beginning, during, and after, whatever the experience is. It's paying attention to the pleasant and unpleasant. And I'll give some examples if it's not kind of feeling clear to you. So one metaphor is if your hands are really cold, right? And somebody comes by and gives you some hot coals, right? Somebody doesn't have to say, your hands are burning. As soon as you feel the burning, you let go. There's not like, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. There's a natural letting go. And you probably know this, right? So how many people have been injured, physically injured? How many people have re-injured themselves? More than once. Okay. So if you've had that experience, you know from your own embodied wisdom, I don't want to do that again. And even when you feel that striving or that like that pushing, there's an embodied knowing that this is going to not take me someplace I don't want to go. So it's recognizing habit pattern and then asking, what am I getting from this? What am I getting from this? So when we can really feel the impact, the full results of our actions, the possibility is a letting go that doesn't require effort. It's not forced. So an example of when this happened for me was so I had been training for like a really long, hard, arduous bike ride. And you know, the fun is all in the training and you're with friends and it's the camaraderie. So it's the night before the ride and I'm with my friend who I'd been training with and we can't sleep. And she says to me, she says, are you fearing it? I said, yeah, I'm fearing it. And you know, my knee had been bothering me, probably overstriving again. And I said to her, you know, it doesn't really mean anything if I don't finish it. And a couple minutes later, she said, it doesn't really mean anything if you do finish it. Right? And in that moment, it dissolved. The gripping of, like, I have to, it just fell away. It just fell away. Like, yeah, you're right. Thanks for reminding me. I was caught. I was caught in this. I have to be this, do this, have this. It means something. You know, of course, it's nice, but really, it, like, the weight of being caught in that moment of, you know, the story of me was so intense. And then after she said that, I, you know, it fell away and I went to sleep. So it's just a possibility when we can see what we're getting out of what we're doing. In that moment, she helped me to see that I was creating a story that wasn't helping me. And then there's the exploration of what do you get when you let go? How does it feel to let go? In that moment, to me, it felt quite freeing. But it can be all kinds of things. There is a joy to letting go. There's a There is a joy to knowing you don't have to push yourself into injury. There is a joy to knowing that you can have one brownie and be satisfied instead of three. Of knowing that three is just not going to feel good. So let this be an exploration for you, an inquiry into letting go, learning of what does it feel like to be caught in a story? What am I getting out of the story I'm telling myself? And seeing if that helps to release, right? If it helps to release it, maybe, maybe not. But the practice is the paying attention. And then if you do have a moment of letting go, what does that feel like? So even right now in this moment, is there anything you're holding on to right now, physically, mentally, emotionally? Just recognizing, ah, this is holding on. What are the results of this? What do I get from this? Just seeing, and there's no forcing, it's just seeing. And is there any letting go happening in you? Maybe there's not gripping right now. Maybe you're in a space of feeling a letting go. How does that feel in your body, the letting go? So there is a possibility of this non-forced letting go. That doesn't come from the head. It really comes from the body and the heart. Embodied wisdom. And the only thing that's required is paying attention. It's paying attention. A quote from a Tibetan teacher. Wanting to grasp the ungraspable, you exhaust yourself in vain. As soon as you open and relax this tight fist of grasping, infinite space is there, open, inviting, and comfortable. Make use of this spaciousness, this freedom and natural ease. Don't search any further, looking for the great awakened elephant who's already resting quietly at home in front of your own hearth. Nothing to do or undo, nothing to force, nothing to want, and nothing missing. Everything happens by itself. So just exploring, are there different ways of letting go, or letting be, or being with?